Amen. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I thank you for your hospitality last night and tonight and so far. I appreciate the good singing. What a blessing that is. I thank God for that. If you want to help your pastor and want to help your church, fertilize your choir. You say, what do you mean by that? Pray for it. Seek the Lord on its behalf, and you ask the Lord to bless it. The ministers of music, those the musicians and the leaders, they don't get up here and eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's something that should be prayed about. They ask the Lord over that. Lord, what songs would you have for tonight? And we all have our favorite, and they have their favorite. But that's not always what's needed in the house of the Lord. It's the Lord's way. And so you pray for your choir, pray for your musicians and all these that lead the choir. And I thank God for them, because I promise you, a lot of churches don't have that. Amen. If you don't believe that, just go out a little ways and you'll find that. We was in Luke chapter 9 last night, so the Lord's led us a long ways away from that tonight. And so we'll be in chapter 10. So if you would turn in your Bible to chapter 10 of the book of Luke, about verse number 38. I appreciate the meal before the service, and Mark was talking about my button on my shirt. Well, Mark ate too. So there you are. All right. Luke chapter number 10. Found your place? Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 38. If you would tonight, we'll read to you a few verses of Scripture. And I appreciate the service last night. I appreciate how it went. I appreciate what was done. And I don't know how you left here last night, but if you was in need of something, I hope you found that in the wee hours of the morning. And if you come tonight with a need, the answer is in the Word of God. I'm not the answer, but the Lord is, and He can help you tonight. Tonight is not last night, and it's not tomorrow night. It's just tonight. I don't have anything special but just the Word of God, and that's enough. Right. Amen. And so I've just got a plain message, and I've asked the Lord and asked Him and asked Him. 2 o'clock this morning, I was up asking Him, Lord, the message for tomorrow night, it's yours. It's not me, and whatever you give to me, that's fine. And I'll take it, and we'll just do with it what you have. So it's His tonight. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, now it came to pass as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Martha hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Thank God for His word tonight. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Ask the Lord to saturate this message tonight. Pastor, would you pray for us? Amen. I appreciate the wonderful prayers tonight. I want to say this before we get started tonight. I as you can tell from Brother Mark's testimony and from mine also, we're buddies. And we're more than preaching buddies. We've had a hot dog or two together on occasion, and we've met, seen each other at work and different things. And but I want to say this, and I say this with all the truth of the Word of God standing behind me. Mark's told me nothing about this church as far as what's needed, what's not needed. Or yes, we talk, and yes, we confide in each other with pastor stuff. But I want to say this tonight. When I come to the house of the Lord this week, I come with what God's given me. Nothing that Calvary Church or your deacon board or your pastor or anybody else has told me anything. And if they did tell me, I promise I didn't listen. And so, because I don't want to be like that. I want to be fresh and anointed from the Word of God, because that's enough. My opinion and man's opinion and your opinion is not welcome in the pulpit. It's the Word of God that's needed. And so tonight I want to be a help. But I am going to tell you something He told me on the phone. And I know He remembers telling me this. And He says, I just want you to be a help to Calvary Church. Now that's a good request. And I can't think of nothing better that a pastor could ask of a visiting evangelist other than just to be a help to my church. I didn't come to fix nothing. I didn't come to turn nothing up. I just come to enjoy myself in the Lord. The Word of God is the Word of God. Right. And whether I'm preaching or your pastor's preaching or this other brother's preaching, the Word of God does the cutting. Right. I'm just a messenger tonight. Right. And church, tonight's message may be a little different. It may not be a typical revival message, but it'll help you if you'll let it. We find a story in the Word of God. Now, getting back to the Bible, we find a story in the Word of God about two sisters, Mary and Martha. We all know this story. Your pastor, I know, has preached. I've heard him preach this message two or three times in revival over the years, and I'm sure you've heard it preached, and I've preached it. And we look at it many times over the situation of Mary. We look at the situation of Martha, and we always look at Martha about her being cumbered about. And we know that she was cumbered about, and that we all know that. And sometimes we focus on her being cumbered about and Mary being at the feet of Jesus. But I want to take a little different look at this tonight and kind of put this into perspective of the church. The Lord showed me something today, going up 421 this morning early, about this scripture and about how this scripture can apply to Round Hill Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Church and whatsoever Baptist church there may be out here. So we know the story about Mary and Martha. Now, Mary and Martha had a special guest that was coming to Martha's house. And we know that was no other than Jesus. We know that. And both of them, although they looked for and they longed for the visit of Jesus to come to their house, they both had different things on their mind, and they was affected different ways by the very presence of Jesus being in their house. So we know that Martha, she went about doing what she was doing. We know the story. And all of a sudden, she looked around, and Mary wasn't helping her. And so, can I just sit and say this in a modern-day Baptist church way? Martha got aggravated. She got irritated a little bit, and I think I'm telling the truth. She got irritated a little bit, or maybe a little bitter, maybe a little jealous, or you know how sisters are. I mean, you know, I don't know all the emotions that was going through Martha, but I know if somebody was helping me do something, I know how that would set with me. She was a human, and I'm a human, so I think we're to play it that way and realize that she had some emotion going through her, maybe some questions about why is Mary not helping me? So you know what she does? She goes and talks to Jesus about the situation.
Right.
And she tells him, says, my sister was helping me. And she tells Jesus the whole story. Jesus knew the story, but she begins to tell Jesus this story about what was going on. And Jesus begins to comfort her. Martha, Martha. And he talks to her. And he says to her, and I'll read this again, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Jesus saw right through Martha. He saw her heart. He saw what was on her mind. It was going a mile a minute. And he saw all the build up and anxiety that was in her life over what she needed to do concerning Jesus. Because her anxiety that was built up wasn't about her sister. It was about Jesus. And what she needed to do to get ready for Jesus. And so the Bible goes on and Jesus says, but one thing is needful. And look what the Lord says to Martha. It says, and Mary hath chosen that good part. By the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach a message. Lord, give me this, so help me. I've never preached this before in my life, in my ministry. There's more than one part.
Right.
And I need to see past mine. Amen? There's more than one part.
Right.
And I need to see past mine. I begin to think about this church today, and I begin to think about our church today. And by the way, we're on the same team. We're the same church. We just live in different areas of the county. So I begin to think about Round Hill Calvary and whatever hill there is or whatever Calvary there is. I begin to think about all that today, and I begin to think about churches and all the parts that are made up in churches. I'm going to read you a few that the Lord gave me today in studying, and I don't apologize for reading these out. My mind is a country boy's, and I have to write some things down sometimes. But I begin to think about the parts in a church that are cared for, the parts in this church that are looked after, the parts in this church that are administered to and taken care of, and the parts of this church that certain individuals have to take part to take care of parts in this church. By the way, don't forget, the Lord told Martha that Mary chose the good part.
Right.
The good part. Each part in this church, not position, each part has a purpose. You agree with that?
Right.
Hey man, who cut the lights on tonight? Did you leave them on last night? All right, who didn't cut the lights on?
I didn't.
Help me out. All right. Listen to this. Somebody's got a part to cut the lights on. Thank God for them. Last night when we was leaving, there was a precious little lady that was waiting on me and Mark to hush, and she cut the lights out. That's right. She has a part. I appreciate that. Listen, somebody has a part to mow the lawn. Is that right?
Right.
Do we want it to grow up and look bad? Somebody's got a part to mow the lawn. I thank God for them. Somebody's got a part to clean this building. And what a job they have. And I commend you for a wonderful job. But what a job. How many wants that part? How about that? That might not be a good part. That's not a good part in our mind. Listen to this tonight. And I'm not trying to be comical. I'm trying to get you to understand where we're shooting from tonight. Then we'll go ahead and preach. But listen, somebody's got the somebody plays the part that books the Family Life Center. Somebody does that. We don't just show up and that happens. Somebody's got that part. And I thank God for who that is tonight. Listen, somebody's got the part to stock the paper products. Does that make a difference? Amen, preacher. Somebody's got that part. And certain times, that's a good part. Amen. Somebody's got the part to do that. Somebody's got the part to take up the offering. Somebody's got the part to praise. That prays. Somebody's got the part to preach. Somebody's got the part that teaches. Somebody's got the part that sings. I thank God for those folks and the ministry they do. Somebody's got the part to be musicians. How many people cannot play a radio? I thank God for those that can do what they do. What a beautiful, what that adds to the choir. Pray for them. I thank God for their part that they take part in. I thank God for that. Somebody's got the part to send out a card of encouragement. Hey, we're from Calvary Baptist Church. May not even put their name on it, but we just want you to know we love you. We're praying for you. May not be members of this church, but it's a member of the Lord's community. Amen. We just want you to know we love you. What a great part. Somebody's got that part. I thank God for that. Listen, somebody's got the part of seeking the Lord. Well, what a precious soul.
Amen.
I thank God for that part. Somebody's got the part as the pastor. And let me say, a two-headed monster is ugly.
Right.
So if he's your pastor, you get behind him and you pray for him. Amen? Amen. He don't need your opinion about everything. You just pray for him and you encourage him and lift him up in the Lord and let the Lord drive him. Amen? It'll be all right. Is that all right, brother? I believe it is. Listen, somebody's got the part as a Sunday school teacher. Thank God for every one of you. Somebody's got the part as a deacon. What a blessing. What a blessing to have the part as a deacon. Hey, somebody's got the part that organizes Bible school. That's a job. I've never done it myself, but I've watched the blood, sweat, and tears out of those that have. That's a job. Somebody's got that part. And you know what? Us as adults, we might get all anxious about it. But when them little kids learn about Mary had a little lamb, boy, how precious that is. And I thank God for the part that somebody takes part in organizing the Bible school here to church. What a blessing. Somebody takes the part to drive the van. I thank God for that. That's a ministry in itself. Somebody takes part for visitation. Boy, what a great part to take part in. I thank God for that. What a blessing to take part in visitation. Somebody takes part in vacuuming the carpet. That's a job. You pay any attention how big this facility is? That's a job. Whoever it is, you don't have to raise your hand. But everybody else knows who it is. You thank them for what they do. Amen. It's our church, the Lord's house. Somebody's got the part not only to do that, but somebody's got the part to get the preacher some water. And I've got some up here tonight. Don't you let your preacher stand up here without some water behind the pulpit.
Amen.
What a blessing. Somebody's got, and what a great part that is. Listen, somebody's got the part to take care of the pastor's wife.
Come on, brother.
That needs to be done, church.
Come on,
that needs to be done. Somebody's got the part of the sound room. Somebody's got the part of the security team. Hello, it's 2019. We have to do that. Somebody's got the part of the security team. We sing last night. Somebody's got the part to help those in need. I thank God for that. All these parts the church had, and all these parts make up what our church is doing. And there's hundreds more I can name for this church, in our church. And you can name parts. And I didn't leave you out. Everybody's got a part. Everybody in here has got a part. You say, well, you do, I don't have a position. I didn't say position. I said part.
Right.
Murray chose the good part. Everybody's got a part to take care of in the house of the Lord. But listen, there's one part that's missing. And I'm glad it's missing. There is not a part in this church for you to do nothing. There's no part in this church. There's no part in the armor of God. Listen, we don't put Ephesians 6, we don't put that armor on to sit still and hope nobody sees us. But listen, there's no part in this church for you to do nothing. As a saved, born-again child of God, a child of the King, you've got a part to do something when it comes for the cause of Christ. You've got a part to do something for the church. Yes, I'm going to preach to the church tonight because that's what revival's for. We've got a part to do something, and the Lord needs us to do that part by which we were required to do. You say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the book of James.
Come on, brothers.
The Bible says that faith without works is dead.
Right.
Being alone. So what does that mean if my faith is dead, if I don't have works? Now listen to this. If I don't show that I'm not saved by works.
Come on.
I'm saved by the grace of God. But you know what my salvation has done? It's got up and come alive and stretched out and exercised in me. And it says, hey, we got to do something. Let's come alive. So our salvation gets alive. And our salvation, you know what it does? It produces work. And I can't help that. That's what the Lord does. And I appreciate Him. I don't know why He called me and you.
Go ahead.
But He did. And I thank God for that. Just our little part, Mark.
Right.
Just our little part. But you think about that. You think about our salvation. When you're saved by the grace of God, you know, the way I understand salvation, you know what it does? It produces work. And if I don't produce that work, then I'm not producing life.
Come on.
To my peers.
Right.
Life to my family. Life to my coworkers. Life to the church.
Come on.
And so my faith is kind of alone. I keep it to myself and I keep it bottled up and I keep it hid. But preacher, I'm just not a vocal person. I weren't either. Unless I'm preaching, I ask my wife. I'm just pretty quiet and reserved and don't say a whole lot. Just stay to myself. That's all right. But when it comes time for this part, I like it. Somebody said last night, did it bother you? There's 300 people here. And I said, I would. There's 3,000. The more the merrier. It doesn't bother me. Listen, that's just how the Lord's done with me. But listen, the part that we have in our salvation, it produces a work. And why do we not want to take part in what our salvation's doing?
Right.
So we think about Martha. And we think about Mary. And we say, well, Martha was cumbered. Boy, she struck out that day with Jesus. That's what we think sometimes. Let's look a little closer. Mary and Martha. I'm going to give you two or three parts tonight. And I hope this will help you. And I hope it will help your pastor. I hope it will help your deacons. I hope it will help your church. I want to look at the parts of Martha, first of all. The Bible says, but one thing is needful. Jesus talking to Martha. Excuse me, I want to look at the parts of Mary first. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, the Lord says, Martha, now wait a minute. I know that Mary ain't doing the way you think she ought to be doing right now, Martha. But you can't take away from Mary what she is doing.
Right.
What she has chose is the good part. And I find when I think about the good part, I see that you know what Mary done? She left Martha. She was in the house and Martha told Jesus, she left me. Because she was doing the serving, they was getting ready, Jesus was coming over, they was going to have a meal, everything was going to be great, and she looks around and Mary's gone. We know that Mary left Martha because she wanted to get to the good part. And what else do we know about Mary? We know that Mary went to where the Lord was.
Right.
The Lord came in the house, He came into Martha's house, and all of a sudden, Mary leaves Martha. Now I believe that Mary loved Martha. I believe that Mary loved her sister. But something happened when Jesus came in the house and Mary couldn't stay with Martha. Mary got up to where Jesus was. And now, let me say again, Mary loved her sister, but Jesus came over. And as soon as Jesus came over, I believe in modern times it would have been, well, sis, I love you, but I'm out of here. There's Jesus. There's somebody else in the house, Martha, and I love you, and I know you're cooking and getting ready and all that, but I can't help it. Over there's the good part. And I've got to get to where the Lord is. Let me say this tonight. Mary left Martha so she could get to the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Mary left Martha so she could get to where it was good. You say, well, what happened to Mary when she got to Jesus? Well, we know that Mary sat. Mary had to just sit a little while at the feet of Jesus. You see, these are the good parts. As a church, you know what we like doing? We love to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Mary not only sat at the feet of Jesus, she looked upon Jesus. What a blessing that is to see Jesus. I see Jesus in the choir. I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in your pasture. Hey, it's a blessing to be a part of the good part.
Come on.
And so she looked upon Jesus, went to Jesus. She looked upon Jesus. She listened to Jesus.
Right.
Ain't that the good parts?
Amen.
I mean, is it good when you're in fellowship with the Lord and maybe this old world is doing its thing and you can turn on the old gospel music and you can listen to Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves, or you can listen to the old Ship of Zion and you can remember when you got on board. Hey, that's the good parts. I mean, when you're by yourself and listening, the world's doing what the world's doing, but you and the Lord are just over here somewhere. Maybe you're at work, but you're out of body, seem like, and you're just over here with the Lord enjoying the good parts. It's just you and the Lord. And that's a blessing. And I want to say in comparison to the church tonight, and you ever preached a message, it's just hard to preach.
Come on, brother.
I feel like I'm just as struggling as hard as struggling can be.
Come on, brother. Just preach.
We enjoy the good parts.
Yes, sir.
I like the good parts.
Yeah.
I like the testifying.
Come on, brother.
I like the good preaching.
Right.
I like the good singing. I like when people can't help it. Amen. I mean, they just get beside themselves, and ordinary people do things extraordinary, and they wouldn't do it if they remembered their dignity, but they lose it, and they just go ahead and praise the Lord. I like the good parts. I like where the Lord is. I like where the honey runs out. I like that spout. I like it when the Lord just moves in, and whether you have to cry, or whether you praise, or whether you just have to say, oh me, I like it when it's good. Amen. And listen, we all like that.
Right.
And if we had our choice as a church, we would stay there.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to be there. I wish we were, can I say this? I wish we were to the point that we wouldn't have to set aside a week.
Right.
Understand? Yes. If we were to the point that we were so in tune with the Lord that we wouldn't have to set aside a week of revival to get back where we need to be. Hey, if we could just stay where the good parts are. I want to say this. The good parts are the good parts. And I thank God for the good parts. But let's get back to reality. You won't stay there.
Right.
But here's the thing about the good parts. The good parts where all the glory is. The good parts where all the shouting is.
Yeah.
The good parts where all the rejoicing is. The good parts is where the presence of the Lord is. The good parts is where it's easy. You know what happens in the good parts? Fellowship. You know what happens in the good parts? Peace. You know what happens in the good parts? Brotherly love continues. You know what happens in all the good parts? Everything that happens in the good parts is good because that's right in the midst of where the Lord is. Hey, and I love to be there and we want to stay there. But did you know this? There's Christians tonight that are in the good part. But if you talk to them honestly and truly, you'll find out that before they ever got to the good part, they had to go through some cumbersome parts.
Right.
And if you find a Christian that's mature in the Lord, I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. He don't always feel as good as he looks.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir. Good preaching. Come on, brother.
He comes in the house of the Lord, and I'm not going to say his smile's fake. I ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes he stands up here and has to put on a smile.
Come on,
brother. And he has to look the good part.
Come on,
is that right? He has, Pastor, am I right? He has to look the good part. You know why he has to look the good part? Because he wants you to be in the good part. He wants you to stay in the good part. But if, when we're in the good part, if we ever lose sight, that listen, there was cumbersome times we had to go through to get to that good part. We're going to start taking for granted the good part. When we start taking for granted the trials and troubles that we went through to get to the good part, we're going to forget about the forgiveness of God and the love of God. Hey, if we forget the forgiveness of God and the love of God, we're going to forget what it took to get us saved and born again. And we're going to forget about the hard times. And we take for granted the good parts. Who likes the good part? Boy, I like the good part.
Amen.
Amen. Who would eat your dessert if mama went looking for your vegetables?
Yeah.
Yes, you would. That was the good part, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Would you rather be at the dessert table or the salad table? That's right. We want to stay in the good parts. But those people that you see in the good parts, I'm talking about true Christians. When you see them in the good part, I'm talking about true born again, bought by the blood of Christ, tried in the fire, been saved, been through the ups and the downs, the valleys of life, been through trials and troubles, no matter what come, they never wavered, they never lost their integrity. I'm talking about them Job people. I mean, they kept their integrity, kept who they was, and no matter what, if it was a good part, or it was a tough part, or a bad part, or a struggling part, or a cumbersome part, they didn't waver, they didn't go one side or the other, they stayed the test, the course of time, they stayed true to the Lord, and when they get to the good parts, honey, they remember what they went through. to get to the good part.
Amen.
But the problem is a lot of people want to pull up to the good part.
Yeah.
Having never went through the bad parts.
Right.
So you're saying, well, Martha had the bad part. The Lord did not say that. He said Martha has chosen, or Mary has chosen the good part. He didn't say Martha's part was bad.
Right.
He just said that Mary's part was good. Every trial that I've ever went through, and every trial your pastor goes through, is for a reason. You know what? I'd rather come out on the other side, tried in the fire, seasoned, in touch with the Lord, prayed up, read up, studied up, ready to go on with what the Lord would have us to be, than to just be laying in the dessert bowl all the time.
Amen.
You see what happens in the church. Now let me tell you about the church compared to the good part. Let me tell you about the good part of the church. The good part is the gracious things of the church. It's the things that we enjoy, the things that we really like, and things that really bring a melody to our heart or bring us joy when we're in the house of the Lord. Those are all the good parts. But for all those good parts to happen, somebody had to go through the fire to get to that good part. And see, there are those that will pull up to the dessert table, but they will never, ever lift a finger to cook.
Come on.
In the house of God. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are those that will, I'm just honest. There are those that will sit on the pew every Sunday, every revival service, every Wednesday night, and they will enjoy the good parts, and the good parts are meant to be enjoyed, but they'll never lift a finger to say, can I play? Put me in. Let me help. I want to do so. You see, that's the part. Everybody wants the good part, but nobody wants to. It's kind of like these professional athletes that want to play the games and get the money, but they don't want to practice.
Oh, yeah.
I want to tell you something. The church is not always good parts.
Right.
Amen. How many wants to clean the toilets tomorrow? I thank God for the ones that do.
Yes.
Amen. How many wants to be a handmaid?
Come on, brother.
Not many. But you know what Mary said? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know why she said that? Because she was excited. The Lord chose her. What a blessing. The Lord would choose somebody like me, Mary, being a handmaid. I'm nothing. I don't stack up to everybody. I'm not a good part of society. I'm just a handmaid. But the Lord would choose me. You see, as a church, we want to feast on the good parts, but we forget that there's some cumbersome parts along the way. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I thought that Martha messed up this whole time, and now you're turning this thing around. No, I'm just showing you the way the Lord showed me. So there's Mary's part. That was the good part. So what about the cumbersome part? Let me show you a little bit about this cumbersome part. Why was Martha cumbered? The Bible says, that came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Ladies, I'm going to ask you a question. If you got a telephone ring, hello, well, this is heaven. I'd like for you to know Jesus will be stopping by tomorrow around noon. 90 mile an hour cleanup. Is that right? How many of you would be stressed? Where was Jesus going? Martha's house. We wonder why Martha got succumbed. The Bible says that a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Why was Martha succumbed? Martha was succumbed about serving, first of all, because Jesus was coming to her house. And you know what she was worried about? Well, if Jesus is coming to my house, I want him to find it swept. And I want him to find it garnished. I want him to find everything where it needs to be. I want to find everything in place. So let's put Martha in 2019. If Jesus is coming to our house, we better get all the sinful things out we don't want him to see.
Come on, brother.
Now, he already sees it, by the way, but I'm talking about fleshly. If he was coming over to the house and he was going to eat your sardines, he was coming in your cabinets, listen, you'd have to get everything out that you wouldn't want him to see.
Right.
And then what you hope that he wouldn't see, you'd sweep under the rug, or you put it in the back of the cabinet, or store it in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do. That's exactly what would happen. So the first thing that was on Martha's mind is, I've got to get this house in order.
Right.
For Jesus is coming by. And I believe if you'd sit here tonight and say, well, that wouldn't have bothered me. Well, I like to have some of what you're taking, because that's something pretty good. Jesus is coming to her house, and Martha's all of a sudden she gets cumbered about because Jesus is coming. And we get upset when the mother-in-law comes over. Imagine if it's Jesus. Here comes Jesus over to her house, and she starts cleaning up and sweeping and organizing and putting everything where it needs to be. She was cumbered about. Let me tell you why your pastor gets cumbered. Guess who's responsible for this house? He is. He has to answer. Yes, he does. I'm not building him up tonight. He didn't tell me to say nothing. And Lord, forgive me if I'd say anything in the flesh, but I'm on the Word of God tonight. This ain't Mark Call's house.
Come on, brother.
It's the Lord's house. But he's the under shepherd.
Right.
So therefore, he's the watch care. He's the Ezekiel. He's the watchman. And he has to answer.
Come on.
And sometimes it's hard to preach because you can get so cumbered about wiping snotty noses and clipping hangnails.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Preacher, I got a hangnail. I'm dying. They've done called rain serving it. You just don't understand. You better get over here. That's people. Church, there's nothing wrong with calling you pastor, but take it to the Lord first.
Come on, brother.
Take it to the Lord first. You know why our deacons get cumbered about sometimes? Because people get the flesh. And people, rather than doing what Matthew chapter 18 says and working things out the way they're supposed to and loving and helping each other, sometimes they take it straight to a deacon. And your deacon, you know what? That's they can't do their job when they have to do that. They get cumbered about. We get a group over here that don't like this group over here. And you know what happens? They get cumbered about. We get this one that said this one, the socks didn't match. They get tore up over that, and somebody said, well, they didn't wave at me in the lunch line at school today, and they eat my apple and all this stuff. And you know what happens? People get cumbered about. And you know why they get so cumbered about? Because, remember, Jesus is coming to the house, remember?
Come on.
Ain't this the Lord's house? Listen, I mean, we fought that junk. And you know why we fight that junk? Because the devil hates Calvary Baptist Church. He hates every existence of it. He hates the roots of it. He hates the history of it. He hates the presence of it and the future of it. And he's going to do his best to tire it up. So if he can get your mind off the fact that Jesus is coming to the house, he's going to get you all cumbered up. Why did Martha get cumbered? Jesus was coming.
Right.
Jesus is coming. He's coming to my house. And so listen, church, when we don't have our house swept and garnished, it's cumbersome. If you always want to over here enjoy the good parts, but you don't want to help sweep and garnish so Jesus can be here, I mean, that's where you got to roll your sleeves up and be in the army of the Lord. That's where you got to do what the Lord wants. And we want to enjoy, we want to lay over here in the dirt while these people over here trying to clean up, stack up chairs, sweep, mop, vacuum, and get everything else in order and get ready for the next function to help the next bereaving family. Somebody's working in the house of the Lord and somebody's laying in the good parts. You know what the pastor said last night? The Lord needs some more work boots and less flip-flops. Amen. I heard that. So sometimes we get all cumbered about. And sometimes the pastor gets cumbered about. I'm not building him up. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Sometimes he gets cumbered about because we got to get our house swept and garnished. Amen. Not only that, why else is Martha cumbered about? Martha said this. She had a sister. The Bible, they were receiving him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his words. And Martha was cumbered about much serving. You know what Martha was doing? She was trying her best to prepare a meal, to prepare a presence, to prepare a table, to prepare a warm welcome, to prepare a reception unto the Lord.
Right.
And I want to tell you this, if you ain't careful as a child of God, you know what? Your work for the Lord, it'll become just that, a four-letter word. It'll become work. And when your work for the Lord becomes a work for the Lord and it gets past being a joy for the Lord, you know what? We lose our excitement for the Lord. And we lose the joy that we're supposed to have to come to Calvary Baptist Church. Hey, when we come here, we're to be rejoicing and be excited of what the Lord's going to do. Somebody might get saved. And I want to be there to see it. And Martha was cumbered because I've got to serve for Jesus. I've got to serve for Jesus. Church, I want to show you something tonight. This is real simple. I don't, and you know, I can Did you know, I ain't got no clue. I didn't talk to Mark about this, and I wouldn't, but I'm going to say this. If there's 300 people here, and 100 does the work that 300 should do, then one person's got to do the work for three people. Amen. That's pretty easy, isn't it? When it's time for Jesus, we need to work. And you know what? I don't know when it's not time for Jesus. We want to have church and we want to have wonderful services. But if one person is having to do too much, they're cumbered about. Lord, help me to help my brother that's in need, that's cumbered about. Church, if you see your pastor being cumbered, you need to help him. If you see your deacons being cumbered, please help them. If you see your van drivers being cumbered, please help them. If you see the ones that clean out your chewing gum paper out of the pew after you leave because we're so disrespectful sometimes we don't get it out. Amen. If you see that person having to do that, help them. Encourage them. Because you see, we're not going to win this thing if everybody is waiting on somebody else to do it. And it don't matter if it's 300 people or 30 people, it's the same issues no matter where you go. She was concerned about serving. Can I ask you a question, Mark, and you answer me honestly? Has there been some services that you've had to come on Wednesday night, that's work day, or Sunday morning, that your study time and meditation time has not been what you would like for it to be? Almost to a zero, other than what you got driving down the road. You know why that is for you, Pastor? Sometimes he's so cumbered in serving that sometimes this gets a lick and a promise. I experienced that, so I can preach that. I'm just trying to open your eyes tonight, church, that one of the reasons that Martha was cumbered is she was trying to serve. And sometimes we need to help our brother and sister in need that's trying to serve. And sometimes your deacon gets too much on his plate. Why don't you help him? Your Sunday school teacher gets too much on her plate. Why don't you help her? Or help him? What a blessing. But there's something else that was dear to Martha's heart that affected her. Look what Martha said. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to the Lord. The Bible says she came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" One of the reasons that Martha was cumbered is the fact that somebody she loved, somebody she shared her life with, somebody no doubt she poured out her darkest secrets to, somebody no doubt that was there for her at times through thick and thin, somebody that she enjoyed life with, somebody that was supposed to love her, her sister, wasn't helping her. Wasn't helping her. You know what will throw the darkened chains of cumbersome on a church and will hinder a church almost to the point of a Ichabod? It's when we don't help one another.
Amen.
Help one another. You see, we've all got to realize that we ain't arrived yet.
Yes.
I need help.
Yes.
I need help.
Amen.
I wonder how many not be honest and say, just honestly, I need some help.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, how many? Who would? I need some help in serving the Lord.
Yes.
So brother, if you need help, and I need help, why ain't we helping one another?
Amen.
It starts with prayer.
Yes,
so let's me and you just gather on up and go to the altar and say, "Lord, I need help. He needs help. Lord, help me help him." Well, my mama was battling cancer. You know what one of the doctors told her? He said, "Vicky," he said, "one of the greatest ways to defeat cancer is pray for somebody that's got cancer." And she had cancer. And I thought, no matter your situation, you could help somebody else. But Martha saw the one that she served with, the one that she loved, And one she thought, well, they love me, her sister. Leave her in this time. Now, yes, she was going to Jesus. I'm not trying to take the Bible out of context. But Martha needed help serving. And sometimes as a church, it's all right for us just to admit, I need some help serving. Because you know what? I'm going through these cumbersome times. I'm going through these cumbersome times, but I'm not giving up. And the reason I'm not giving up is because I know that there's a good part. I know that there's a good part. I'm going to keep serving my church, and I know it's tough, and I know it's hard sometimes. And you know, Satan tells us to quit about every 30 minutes, but you know, he's a liar. But you know, anyway, I'm going to keep serving my church, and I'm going to keep doing what's right, and I'm going to keep on, I'm going to keep on, I'm going to keep on, because somewhere there's going to come somebody that walks the aisle and needs to be saved. And you know what that is? That's the good part. And I'll rejoice in that with their salvation. But right as soon as that service is over, you know where I'm going? I'm going back to work for the Lord. Because you know what? I can't lay around and enjoy the good parts. I can't lay around and just enjoy and try to get build myself up on all the good parts and not be willing to work for the Lord. You say, Martha had a bad part. That ain't what Jesus said. He just said Mary had the good part. I'd rather be working for the Lord and pouring my heart out for the Lord and doing what I can for the Lord than doing nothing and sitting on a church pew. Amen. Now that's hard, but I love you. And I want to see this church do well. And I want your pastor to preach the same thing at my church. He has. Church, if we don't go through the cumbersome times together, if we don't work together, then we won't have the good parts together. Amen. But I want to say this tonight. And I'll be done here in just a moment. Mason, you can come on up if you would. Sometimes cumbersome people need help. But sometimes the good part people need help. You see, sometimes leaders in a church can become cumbersome because they don't understand how to delegate responsibility. You know what that means? That means this. Maybe you're a leader in the church, or maybe you do one of those parts we talked about a while ago, and maybe this brother, for some reason, not had that opportunity. You say, hey, brother, I'm going visiting Saturday. Why don't you go with me? I'm going to drive the church van Sunday morning. How about you co-captain with me? You see, just a little flicker like that will start a flame you can't put out. Maybe the people that's cumbered about, maybe we could relieve some of our burden if we might go to somebody and say, you know what? I've got to mow down to church Saturday and I'm just a little behind. Would you come help me? That might be a blessing. Might be a blessing to them. You know what? I'm teaching a Sunday school class Sunday on time, and I've got an hourglass, and I need somebody to hold my prop. Would you come in my class with me? Just help me. Next thing you know, they're in there every Sunday, maybe coloring with the kids, but they enjoying hearing about Jesus. You see, that starts them. Did you start out at the top? Did you start out in your position? Did you start out doing your part? You started, is the point. Right. And somebody was your mentor. You see, sometimes the people that just want to have the good parts, maybe they just need to be asked or need to be helped. Will you help take me to work? And then sometimes those that's over here fighting the cumbersome parts, maybe it's time somebody says, hey, can I come help you? Can I come hold your arms up? I want to be a blessing to you. Very simple, simple message tonight, but I believe there's a lot of truth in it. Church, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in the part that don't exist in the local church, and that's the part that does nothing. That should not be in our church. And I pray it'd never be in mine. And I pray it'd never be in yours. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.